My topic for this morning is from the Old Testament, and it's talking about whether the Old Testament is relevant to the deaf today. I use, quote, the value of the Old Testament now. So what is it valuable for? Why is it valuable for us now? You know, a few deaf people have lots of questions about, well, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how is that relevant for us today? There are different parts of this lesson that I want to look at, and compare that with the law and the faith, and what they had in the Old Testament, and religious people. How does that relate to God? And so we're going to have different parts. We're going to squeeze two parts into one lesson this morning, and then the second two parts will be in our second class. Lots of deaf people understand, a few deaf people will ask me questions, why should we have different parts? And so I'm going to try to answer that this morning. Let me start with, do you think the Old Testament is important for us today? Just say yes or no. Raise your hand, yes or no, or whoever. Some okay, some do, good. You know, many people know that the Old Testament is important, but lots of deaf people don't think the Old Testament is really that important, that it doesn't belong to us, that it's just something that we don't have to look at. So let me start with this. If you have any questions, feel free to raise your hand, ask questions. We can stop and ask questions. That's not a problem in our class this morning. So the value of the Old Testament today, most of you said yes, it's important. So now the first thing we want to look at, many scriptures show that the Old Testament law is not binding on us today. We've noticed the Old Testament law and the New Testament law. Are they the same law? No, they're different. They sometimes share some verses, but let's take a look at this. Some of the scriptures I'm going to put up on the screen so that you can see them. Can you read that okay? Is it too small? It's a little small? Small text? In the book of Hebrews, it's in chapter 8, verse 7 through 13. If there was nothing wrong with the first agreement, then there would be no need for a second agreement. If the Old Testament law was nothing wrong with it, then we wouldn't need a New Testament law today. But the Old Testament law had a lot of flaws in it. And so Jesus brought a New Testament. But God found something wrong with the people. They were doing wrong. And so he said, "The time is coming, said the Lord, when I will give you a new agreement for the people of Israel and to the people of Judah. It will not be like the agreement that I gave to their fathers. That is the agreement I gave when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. They did not continue following that agreement that I gave them, and I turned away from it. And so this is the new agreement that I will give to the people. I will give him the agreement for the future, or in the future, says the Lord. And I will put my law into their minds, and I will write my laws on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Never again will anyone have to teach their neighbors or their family to know the Lord. All people, the greatest and the least important, will know me, and I will forgive their wrongs that they have done, and I will not remember their sins anymore. God has called this a new agreement. So he has made the first agreement old, and anything that is old and useless is ready to go. So a new agreement that we have makes the old agreement non-applicable. He's put a new law into our hearts. So the law that he gave to the fathers, like Abraham and others, they always found a way to disobey God. The old Moses law, Mosaic law, that God gave to the people. Many people even rejected that and kept on going astray. There was lots of error and sinning in the people. And so God decided that the old law was, because of the people, was not good, and so decided to make a new law. We notice here that in the book of Hebrews, in that Old Testament, there's some quotations from the Jeremiah. His sign name is Jeremiah, with the crying, weeping prophet. This is from 31. This is what the Lord said: a time is coming when I will make a new agreement with the family of Israel and with the family of Judah. It will not be like the agreement that I made with their ancestors. I made that agreement when I took them by the hand and brought them out of Egypt. I was their master, but they broke that agreement. And this message is from the Lord. In the future, I will make this agreement with the people of Israel. And this message is from the Lord. I will put my teaching in their minds, and I will write the laws onto their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And people will not have to teach their neighbors and relatives to know the Lord, because all people, from that least important to the most, will know me. This message is from the Lord. I will forgive them for the evil things that they did. I will not remember their sins. So we see that the New Testament is a law of Christ. The Old Testament law was a law of Moses. Well, how do we know that it's no longer applicable to us? Again, in the book of Hebrews, it's in chapter 10 and verse 9 through 10. Again, Hebrews, New Testament book, Hebrews 9:10. Then he said, "Here I am, God. I have come to do what you want." So God ends that first system of sacrifices, and he starts a new way. Jesus Christ did the things that God wanted him to do. And so because of that, we are made holy through the sacrifice of Christ's body. Christ made that sacrifice one time, enough for all time. Jesus died on the cross, sacrificed himself for everyone's sin once. He only had to do that one time. There needed to be a sacrifice, and in the Old Testament, remember, there were sacrifices every year to forgive people's sins. It's almost like they were done every year. But in the New Testament, Christ has sacrificed himself once for all, for all time. You know, some other churches keep Moses' law, keep the Old Testament law. And if you could keep the Old Testament law, then you would have to sacrifice something every year, right? But they don't do that, and so they're misunderstanding that particular aspect of it. A third verse that is applicable to this lesson is, I'm sorry that this text is a little bit too small. Colossians 2 and 14, because we broke God's law, remember, in the Old Testament people continuously broke the law, we owed a debt. That was a debt that listed all the rules that they failed to follow. But God forgave them for that debt. And he took that away, and he nailed it to the cross. And so the Old Testament law, like, oh, for example, the Ten Commandments, could you keep them all? No, people didn't. They sinned. And they were forgiven once a year, but still they sinned because of that. And so, it says here in Colossians, Paul writes that the Old Testament system was nailed to the cross when Christ sacrificed himself. Again in Colossians, it's another verse in chapter 2, but it's in verse 16 and 17. So don't let anyone make rules for you about eating and drinking, or about Jewish customs, festivals, new moons, and so on, or the Sabbath day. You know, notice some people that think that they have to follow the Old Testament rules. They say, well, no, we don't need to keep the Sabbath. We go to church on Sunday. Well, they're not keeping the rules that they've established in the Old Testament. And so in the past, these things were like a shadow that showed what was coming. But the new things that were coming are found in Christ. So Christ is the center of the New Testament law. I think, you know, these verses really prove that the Old Testament law has been done away with, that we're under a new law, a new era, a new time now. And so we see, even though some of the New Testament writers did quote from the Old Testament, but that doesn't mean that we're still under the Old Testament. It means that we're now under the New Testament. We have some proofs about that. I meet people all the time, you know, that say, oh, and deaf and hearing, both. Not only just hearing, but deaf and hearing. It causes a little bit of confusion because people often become confused about the real value of the Old Testament. Some act as though the Old Testament is worthless today. Why do you even have it? You don't even need it. Why is it even in the Bible? But really, lots and lots of preachers use that Old Testament ideas into their lessons. And people really study the Old Testament. In the New Testament, often people talk about the Old Testament. So you have to know the Old Testament in order to make the New Testament make some kind of sense. And people get confused about that because they think, well, do I need to study the Old Testament or not? Well, yes, we do today. People don't want to study sometimes the Old Testament. So a lot of times we ignore basically the Old Testament because, well, if we're under the New Testament, we need to study that. Well, people get confused. And I tell them, go home and study and try to understand what's happening with both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Stacy's adding a comment that some people misunderstand the meaning of the Old Testament and the meaning of the New Testament. But if you study something and you don't understand it, then what do you do? Well, the simple answer is that you have to ask questions. You know, some people want to study the Bible, and they limit themselves to just studying the New Testament, and they don't really bother with the Old Testament. But then they get to a verse in the New Testament that relates to the Old Testament. Well, what are you going to do about that then? So you have to have, it is important. When I was in Tennessee preaching, I love the story about the old prophet that the man named Balak, I don't know what to smell, is that how to spell it? Anyway, he was using him to pray and causing the Jewish people to be cursed, wanted to curse the Jews, the Israels, and the servant of the prophet wanted the money, and so on, and so they caught him. In the New Testament, it talks about a verse about that. It refers to the person in the Old Testament. Well, people just, when they read that, they don't even know who that is. They say, well, that may not even be important. So then they're confused even more. It shows that the Old Testament is important. And people oftentimes preach But if they don't understand the relevance of the Old Testament to the New Testament, then they get confused and can lead them astray. It's important to check out everything. And if somebody says that the Old Testament isn't important, then you need to say, okay, enough of that. That needs to be, that needs to be stopped. Some people ask me, do I study the Old Testament? And there's a lot of history in the Old Testament. And we like to sometimes have home studies where we deal with the Old Testament and we look at the Old Testament stories. And so I today am really encouraging people to read the Old Testament. Don't ignore it. People also become confused because of what the New Testament says. They think, they ask me, these different points that you see about the Old Testament and as it relates to the New Testament. And so sometimes they have to use the Old Testament. If they use the Old Testament to kind of make a point in their lesson, they just really basically borrowing a point from the Old Testament. But people complain, why are you always using the Old Testament scriptures for your lessons? Well, people misunderstand that too. But I really encourage people to read both. That does cause some confusion, though. If the Old Testament is not applicable to us today, then why do we need it? Well, I'm trying to show you that it's connected. There's a connection between the Old Testament and New Testament. And people should know better, and they need to study both. Some deaf people, even in churches, other churches have difficulties teaching about, well, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. Which one do you need? And so it's all kind of confusion with people. Old Testament and New Testament. We worship under the New Testament today, but the Old Testament helps us to understand God's Word and God's ways. Let me look at something else here. Okay. In this study, do research and examine how today we ought to use the Old Testament. Today, why is it important to be able to use the Old Testament? Oh, I get you. It's like God's plan. New Testament writes definitely states that the Old Testament does have value. That's quoted in the book of Romans. It helps us. And in also 1 Corinthians. In Romans 15:4, it says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Well, wouldn't that be important just on that alone? It helps to teach us. It helps our understanding. Those things were written so that we could have hope. Have hope. Without the Old Testament, we maybe wouldn't have any hope because it's related. That hope comes from the patience and the encouragement that the Scriptures will give us. And so that's one of the reasons that it's important to analyze the Old Testament and look at those stories and how they can help you. In the past, they were written to teach us. I know in college classes, sometimes in history, you have ancient history. Why do we need ancient history? What good is that? Well, because if we learn how people did it in the past, it can help us for the future and in our present time. It's the same with the Bible classes. We have hope because of the Old Testament and because it relates to the New Testament. There's another verse in 1 Corinthians. It's in chapter 10, verse 6 and 11, two verses. And these things that happened are examples for us that we should stop from wanting evil things, like the people in the Old Testament did. They were written to be warnings for us. And so we live in a time that all those past histories were pointing to us. It's a warning to us. Those past warnings in the Old Testament, that things had happened to them, like people rejecting God and they weren't being patient with God and they were not they were being punished because of their disobedience in God. Well, that is a warning for us to be obedient to God as well. So what does it benefit us to look at the Old Testament? What's good? What's the meaning of it all? How do we need to use the Old Testament in our teaching? Should we study it or not? I want to look at that a little bit more, more deeply. You know, some of the answers that we have give some, I'm going to actually have in part two of my class, but here's a good point. The Old Testament records the history of God's dealing with people, with mankind. What happened to them? How did God treat those people? And Adam, from the story of Adam and Eve all the way over. The timeline we look at of how people disobeyed God and how people did obey. Let me look at this a little further. The Old Testament tells the beginning of people and of the human race. In the book of Hebrews, and it's in chapter 11, verse 3, it says faith helps us understand that God created the whole world by His command. And so this means that the things that we see were made by something that we cannot see. Notice when we read the books of Genesis from there on, that God made the heavens and the earth and everything in it, and how people were made. And I do want to look at that a little further later, but we have the record in the Old Testament of how God created everything. The Old Testament records God's relationship also with people in the past. Those stories are recorded for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. The whole chapter. We notice in that chapter we have the names after name after name of people of faith that were in the Old Testament. Men like Noah. What happened to him? How did he obey God? And that story is in there. How he built the ark and why he did that, and how God warned the people that there would be a flood. And Noah, and only Noah and his family obeyed God, and everybody else was destroyed. How was that? Why was that done? How was it done? We talk about Abel and the sacrifice of Abel compared to the sacrifice of Cain. We notice that Abel's sacrifice was better. God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's, and so. As a consequence, Cain kills his brother, Abel. Why did he do that? That story is given to us in the Old Testament. Many times it refers to people in the New Testament will refer to an Old Testament act or an Old Testament story, how God has blessings through. Abraham was blessed, and they said that the stars in heaven would not be able to count how many people would be blessed because of Abraham. And how many people is that? Well, you know, so those stories in the Old Testament are important for us. We have a good example of that relevancy in the book of Acts. It's talking about the New Testament time, and a man named Stephen was preaching, and all those Jewish people decided to punish him. They threw rocks at him until he died. And so he preached about the Old Testament from history all the way up. And Moses' law, and how people rejected that, and how that you people are doing the same thing. And they got angry, and they killed Stephen. They stoned him to death. And so, why did they do that? If you read that story, you see that Stephen refers back to the Old Testament numerous times in order to make his point. It wasn't just him. It was just that he was making the point that they were rejecting God's word just like they did in the Old Testament. And so they needed to stop him. And so they killed him. We notice that Stephen was teaching the Jewish people about their own law, and that they rejected that law, and they're rejecting it still today. And they got angry and they killed him. Same thing with Jesus on the cross. When they realized what he was, they became angry at Jesus, just like they did with Stephen. These are interesting stories. Let me make a second point. The Old Testament has evidence, or gives evidence, that supports our faith. You know, many of us doubt maybe what our faith can do. Often people in the New Testament are talking about and explaining about faith many times. So, that faith that is shown in the Old Testament can help us in the New Testament. Oh, you learn how Abraham's faith and how that can apply today. It's evidence that God exists, that God is, and that Jehovah God is the one true God. There isn't another. This is shown in the book of Isaiah. It's in 41, 21, and 22. The Lord, the King of Jacob, says, "Come, present your argument. Show me the proof." And then in verse 22, "Let your idols come in and tell us what will happen. Idols, tell us what happened in the beginning. We will listen closely to them so that we can make a decision. Let the idols speak." So the point with Isaiah was trying to make is that you shouldn't rely upon idols. And don't worship idols. Idolatry is wrong. And so where's the proof? And so what happened is those idols were toppled. They were destroyed. And so we see that story from the Old Testament point of view. Also, we have evidence that the Bible is actually the Word of God. You know, people don't really believe that sometimes. Often people, even deaf people, they meet, they say, oh, there's a lot of belief. Bible is only written by men. It's not inspired by God. It's just a bunch of stories. The ability of the Old Testament writers to predict future events, warning them about the future that was to come. And then we read the New Testament, how it refers back to the Old Testament prophets and how their prophecies came true. We have this unity between various Bible writers and how their stories correspond exactly. We notice sometimes that people don't understand why we have the Old Testament, a lot of names and Bible names, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and so on. And they all teach what time it happened and the timeline and prophecies and so on, and how these stories all were chained together. We see it all connected. We see, understand now that God used the prophets to talk for him to different people. Different characters wrote the Bible. Thirdly, we have evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It's in John chapter 5, verse 39. That teaches us that you have to be careful, to carefully study the Scriptures. It teaches us to be careful and carefully study the Scriptures. You think they will give you eternal life, and those same Scriptures tell about me, talking about Jesus. Read the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. That includes the Old Testament. Also, remember Isaiah talked about that chapter there, about the future, what would happen. That a man, that his legs wouldn't be broken, no bone would be broken. Well, who was that talking about? Well, that was talking about Jesus Christ, and that happened in the New Testament. So all these prophecies go together to show that God, that the Bible is God's Word. And they used these prophecies as well. to show the trueness of the Word of God. All of these things help us to support our concept of faith. And what does God expect of us when it concerns the Old Testament? Well, it means that we need to learn it and also to use it in our teaching. I think I have about 5 minutes left. I might stop now and talk about this last thing. I think this is the last part. I want a little bit, give you maybe a preview of what we're going to talk about next hour. The Old Testament teaches general principles of truth. God's law that he gave was an agreement for people to change. And many of them never did change, from the very beginning. I want to talk about that. God's law was an agreement between him and the people, and it didn't change. But you know what? People often change the law, don't they? They even do it happens in the New Testament. They take out what they don't like, and they put in some stuff that's not there. So we want to talk about that a little bit on our next class time. There is some confusion about this story, the stories. How do they apply to us in our lives today? And so many people, because of their confusion, make mistakes. But the evidence there is a universal truth that the Old Testament showed the points that God is in control as well today. The facts are there, and we can't change those. And so I hope that you can stay and for the next hour and learn some more about the relevancy of the Old Testament to the deaf. Thank you.